It is just about 12 minutes after 8 a.m. Now it is. It is Wednesday, April the 9th. And as promised, I mentioned earlier that I would have a guest this morning. And so I have Holmes Fire District 1 Fire Chief Brian Rafferty. All the words were running in my head and they were all trying to go blah, 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 blah. So I have Chief Rafferty here with me this morning, and we're gonna talk all kinds of fun stuff today. We were kind of previewing coming attractions in the off time there leading up to it. So good morning.
Good morning. What a difference a month makes from last time I was here, and it was dry and all the fields were burning, and now they're underwater.
Everything's underwater.
Yeah.
I guess that put out that problem. But we are still in the burn ban through May.
Oh, yes. Yep, definitely.
So just because there's water everywhere doesn't mean you can be like, oh, let's light something on, you know, burn something.
Now we'll have all this flood debris to clean up and burn here in the next week or two. So that'll be our problem again. But, yeah, big difference of where we were. A month ago, we were, you know, everything was so dry, and, you know, as soon as I think I left here, that's all we did the rest of the week was put out field fires and woods and everything like that. So it gave us a busy month last month.
So you usually do have your numbers. How were all of those looking?
So last month, for March, we did 150 calls, and, you know, usually we're around the, you know, 110, 120. This is kind of a high month for us, so we were up there quite a bit. So like our fire calls, you know, that encompasses everything, you know, structure fires, field fires, whatever. But we were, you know, usually during the month, it's if we go over five fires, you know, that covers all kinds of things. That's kind of a max. We were at 14 for March. Like I said, it was mostly field fires, things like that. But everything else, we were way up. In numbers wise for March. So we're looking at one of our kind of on pace for one of our highest number years for call volume the way we're going now. So, you know, we don't like, it's always good if we're not doing something, somebody's not sick or injured or there's nothing on fire. But we're, you know, we prepare for it. That's why we have it. That's why, you know, our residents, you know, pay for that, expect that, and we just keep working to train and prepare for whatever might come our way.
So that, you know, that's a lot to have increased for one department. So let's try not to light things on fire once it dries out.
Yeah. Hopefully we're through. Everything's turning green, and that danger kind of lessens as we get into the spring months more. You know, it's, like I said, everything's turning green. If there is a fire, it doesn't spread like it was there a month ago with everything being brown.
But like we said, you still can't burn until after May.
Right. Burn ban's still in effect. Monday, or it's 7 days a week, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Obviously, it's a common sense kind of thing. If it's windy, if it's, you know, really been dry, you know, you got to think about that. And if you're going to burn something after that 6 p.m., you have to stay with it. You got to make sure, you know, the smoke isn't going into somebody's residence or it's going across a highway that reduces visibility. And obviously, in any village or city incorporated areas, there's no burning anytime. So unless it's, you know, it's a cooking fire, you know, within reason, and you're not affecting neighbors, you're not near a structure. Again, it's common sense kind of thing.
Been there, dealt with that in the past. Neighbors who did that. So I know what it's like to have that. So it's common courtesy. I mean, more than anything.
Yep,
so
definitely.
So what else are we looking at as we head into spring? And aside from having green grass again and less dry things to burn.
Well, I mean, we're always, you know, we kind of get into this. Now people are out in their lawns and doing work, so there's always the potential for injuries from that. You know, now everything is obviously soaking wet and soft and muddy, and there's, you know, always dangers with mowing. You know, we don't typically get a lot of calls, but every once in a while there's a track, you know, lawnmower that rolls over. They're too far on the ditch or something like that. So we're always cautious about that. And obviously farming, all that is picking up in the fields. And so we have, you know, potential there of some injuries that we deal with.
Because you guys, you know, you're not just fire. You guys do EMS services too. Yes. And
so we said we're the fire department, but fire is probably the least we do. Good thing that that's years of fire prevention training and education. You know, it's more of a all hazards kind of thing is what we look at. And, you know, we're doing, we do those smoke detector installations. We're doing inspections at commercial properties. We're out doing training. Like we talked about what we're doing, fire extinguisher training in a lot of places right now. And that's what we're here to do is if we can prevent things and never use that fire truck, great. That's awesome.
Yeah, you should have seen what Dave Krylo's face was when I said I've never used or learned how to use a fire extinguisher.
I can imagine what his response was, yes.
But it's all in hopes that I will never have to.
Right, right. But, you know, we have, Dave Krylo was a big part of this, so getting some money donated. We purchased a fire extinguisher trainer. So we take those out to businesses or organizations that want to learn. And we don't have the mess from using a real fire extinguisher. It has a screen with looks like a fire on it. And the fire extinguisher trainers are heavy, just like the real ones. You have to take the time to put it out. You've got to aim the little laser beam in the right spot to put the fire out on the screen. And it just gives you the feel of what it's like to hold that fire extinguisher for, you know, a couple minutes and putting out the fire and what it takes. You know, it doesn't happen instantly. So we use that a lot to train places, and they get that real feel without all the powder everywhere, and we don't have to light pans of diesel fuel out in the parking lot on fire like it used to be. And
so a lot safer on that end too.
Much safer, and they're more, you know, they're not as scared to get involved and do it. Everybody moves to the back of the group and acts like they, you know, don't want to do it, and they'll get up, do it, and it's, you know, gives them that feel of what it's like to use a fire extinguisher.
So it's a pretty accurate simulation.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like I said, it's more that carrying that fire extinguisher, feeling the weight of it, and, you know, a lot of times it's, you'll see somebody use a fire extinguisher and they'll squeeze that handle before they're ready, and we'll go over that a little more later of the proper procedure, but they'll squeeze that handle before they're ready to start putting out the fire, and they waste half of it on the floor or whatever. And so it gives them that feel what it, you know, when to use it, when to be ready, and, you know, how to even, you know, escape if that extinguisher isn't putting out the fire.
So do they have anything catchy? Like, you know, we learned stop, drop, and roll. Like, you got to...
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, in the fire service, we like acronyms and things like that. So, you know, with a fire extinguisher, we always teach PASS. You know, it's pull, that's pulling the pin. You aim at the base of the fire. You squeeze the handle and then sweep. Sweeping back and forth of whatever's on fire to cover it with that powder. And that's what puts out the fire. So we teach that. Pretty simple. And then we, you know, talk about making that decision. Am I going to fight this fire or am I going to leave? And that's always a big part of making that decision. We want everybody out. We want you to have that exit path figured out before you go in and decide to fight that fire with that extinguisher. And because it may not be enough, or you may find an extinguisher that hasn't been inspected or checked for a while.
I don't know why anybody would have anything like that.
No, no names, please. So it may not even work, or it may only last a couple seconds, and you realize, oh, I this isn't the option. I need to go. So we want you to have that exit plan before you're using that fire extinguisher.
So that is just another service that you guys offer, because yeah, prevention is key to helping disasters.
Yeah, we talked about that last one, even EMS calls, falls prevention. All that stuff. If we can reduce, that's better for us. That's better for you. That's better for a business. It keeps insurance rates, you know, they're going to go up anyway, but it helps keep insurance down. That's what we want. Prevention is a big part of our business, if you will, of what we do, and either preventing it or reducing the impact from it.
All right. Well, we will have more with Chief Rafferty here in just a moment. We're going to take a little break here on WKLM. And we are back here on WKLM. I have Holmes Fire District 1 Chief Brian Rafferty with me this morning. And we've been talking all things fire and fire prevention. And we were on fire extinguishers before we took the little break and kind of getting a little quick learning trip on how to use a fire extinguisher. But that is something that you guys provide. You were kind of mentioning before, if your church or your business or somebody wants to teach their business or congregation or what have you how to use that, to have that safety training, you guys will do that.
Yes. So actually, you know, OSHA requires that you do an annual fire extinguisher training. You document that, and that can be, you know, you can do that in-house and make it simple, whatever, or, you know, having us come out, do that, provide the trainer. You know, that's something we love to be out and do that. And it gets us, you know, in that business and show some other safety concerns we might find. And, you know, and I always say that's the reason for us doing inspections, and why, you know, the Ohio Fire Code exists for a reason, because usually bad things happen. And, you know, we want to get out and make sure that doesn't happen to any of our local businesses. We want to keep people in business, or if they have a fire or something, that it's a minimal, hiccup in their week or whatever, that they can recover quickly and it doesn't put them out of business. So that's why we're out doing inspections. It's not to, you know, try to shut you down or to make you do all these things. It's, we want to keep your business in business, keep you safe, keep your employees safe, keep your visitors safe. And, you know, that's the key for us.
And it's all part of that prevention that we've been, you know, kind of stressing heavily on last month and into this month. Prevention really is the key.
Oh, yeah, definitely. What we dealt with last month of, you know, I think I talked about just those field fires from burning a pile of debris, and then it ends up catching acres and acres on fire. And we were going down into Coshocton County and neighboring counties. So they're calling in 4, 5, 6 departments to put out grass and sticks and leaves. And now we're away from being able to answer other calls. And it just, if it would have just waited to either burn that pile or wait till the evening when it wasn't so windy, or to
mulch
maintaining it a little bit better, you know, that's a lot of equipment, a lot of manpower to fight what shouldn't have to be dealt with.
But it's necessary to do that. You can't just let it burn because you don't want it to get to farms and homes. And
we've had buildings affected by it. You know, it goes on. You know, the big thing is when that fire leaves your property and goes on to somebody else's property, that's when the state of Ohio gets involved. And we don't want that for you. You don't want that for you. You don't want the Ohio EPA and Department of Natural Resources coming to talk to you after, you know, your little stick pile caught your neighbor's field on fire, and now the state of Ohio is at your door. So we're not, we want to keep that from happening.
That's where patience is also key. Yes. Be patient.
Now it's green. You know, you wait till after 6 p.m. It's not windy. If you got to clean it up, that's when you take care of it and stay with it.
I just have a pile, and it just keeps growing. Although it kind of disappeared, so I'm not sure if somebody took some or not. I've told my neighbors they could have it, but
it'll eventually disappear.
Eventually, yeah. Right? The fact that my neighbors put up with me some days. But what is there anything else on fire extinguishers that we needed to touch on before we hop into ABC News?
Well, we can hit a little more later, but you know, commercial properties, you know, they're required to have those inspected every year, get tagged. They should have a tag on it with the year marked. when they were done. And then that's when we come out, do our inspection. We're making sure that gets done. Same fire extinguishers. If they have a fire alarm, sprinkler system, all that has to be inspected by somebody certified to take care of those. And then we come out and make sure you got it done.
They don't use invisible ink on those.
No. No. We want to see that it's done. They're checking it. Powder, you know. And every month you got to go check those extinguishers. It's a good idea to turn them upside down. Keep that powder loose. It'll settle in there. That's another thing. When you go to use it after 7-8 years of it sitting there and nobody checking it, that nothing comes out of it. So checking those once a month. That's in the back of those tags. It gives you spots where you're supposed to write down every month that somebody checked it, put your initials, the little arrows still in the green, tip it upside down, keep that powder loose, and it'll work great for you when you need it. You're learning something.
That is our whole point in turn here is for folks to learn something. We're all learning together.
My goal is to keep WKLM safe. Next month when I come back, we're going to have some new tags on those fire extinguishers.
I thought you weren't calling anybody out. Oh, my bad.
Yes. I mean, just think if we lost WKLM. That's a big impact to the community.
Yeah.
So I know you want the day off, but we want to keep... We want to keep things going here.
Yeah. So, and that goes for all businesses.
Yes.
Make sure you're checking them. You can call you guys and get things taken care of. Now, do you guys set things up or does this business have to set up with you?
So either most of the time people call us and say they need an inspection done. And there's a lot of places that they're required by. They might be state funded or obviously the nursing homes, hotels, all that. They got to go through the state fire marshal. So we often... We'll go with them when they're here. But, we'll come out and say, give you guidance of, hey, these are things you need to do before we do the actual real inspection. We can say, these are the things we're going to look for. We see these things as a problem. Let's take care of these. We'll come back in a couple weeks or a month, whatever you need, and then let us do our inspection. And again, we're not going to shut anything down unless we see something obviously life-threatening. But our goal is to just to make it safer for everybody.
So if you're in Holmes Fire District 1, or now do you guys do the whole county or do you guys just do District 1?
We do our area. Obviously, that's Village of Millersburg, Hardy Township, Monroe, Mechanic Township. If you're in another area, you call your local fire department. It's a state law, the fire code's Ohio law, that you're required to have an annual inspection. You just contact your local fire department and they'll set it up.
Easy peasy.
Oh, yes. Painless.
Just like homeowners can call their local fire department for smoke detectors.
Right.
All the prevention is there for you.
We don't cover residential. We can't go into residences or, you can see, mobile home parks. We cannot do fire inspections there. We don't have that authority as far as the Ohio Fire Code. But we do home fire safety visits. Obviously, for a foster home or adoption, we'll do inspections there. They're required to have that. And we go through everything like, smoke detectors, fire extinguishers, exit paths, everything like that is good. We've done it in going into a home just to review and, there's no charge for that. We go out and can give suggestions to make your home safer. We have absolutely no problem doing that. It's not required under the fire code for residential.
And you work with the kids too to help with how to handle a fire at home too. It starts, we start them young.
Yeah. So then that obviously we go to all the schools every year and, see them every grade they go through over the years. I've done several with Habitat for Humanity. When family moves into that house, we'll go in and talk about fire extinguishers and having a meeting place and talk about with their kids and where to go and kind of review some of that stuff.
I'm just glad to live in a house that is all ground level. So if I have to bust out of a window, I'm not going to fall two stories to a horrible to a lot of pain. I can just whoop right out the window. All right. So let's We'll talk more here in just a moment. We're going to pop into ABC News. We are in the second half of your 8 a.m. hour here on WKLM. I am with Holmes Fire District 1 Chief Brian Rafferty, and we have been talking fire extinguishers and fire prevention, but some things that you guys also attend to as part of your duties is when folks don't listen when we tell them, turn around, don't drown.
Yeah, that's been an issue here this last week, but you know, fortunately, we didn't have too many problems. You know, we had a few calls that were close. Fortunately, they were able to get out on their own. But again, yeah, it's that's something we talked earlier. It's very preventable. You see it. You know, most of us that have lived around here any length of time, you know the common areas.
Kilbuck.
And it's
tree
just,
swamps.
Yeah, so it's very. Very preventable. It's you can plan. We get the forecast ahead of time. We know it's coming. You know, you just have to plan for it. And it's just can be very dangerous, especially at night, just not being able to see what's out there or what's happened underneath the water to the road. I've seen some videos of, you know, culverts that are gone, and I would think, you know, if that when that was underwater, you'd have no idea that there's this now huge trench in the road and the culvert's completely gone. So it's just, yeah, very, very easily avoided. And hopefully, you know, we have more rain in the forecast. Hopefully we kind of drain out here pretty quick, and this whatever's coming up here doesn't cause us too many issues.
Yeah, because we're down to just one road that is officially closed county-wise. Now there's still some township roads and a couple state roads, but depending on how much more rain we get.
Yeah, it's obviously everything's saturated, and it isn't going to take much to fill everything back up again. But, you know, we had the boats all ready to go, checked everything, and life jackets all ready, ropes all
ready.
Yeah, it was everything. We actually moved one of our squads over to another bay to have the boat kind of at the front, and it was ready to go. We actually, the one had a call down there in Coshocton County and headed that way with it. And fortunately they were able to get out on their own, and we were able to turn around and come back. So, but again, that's just, we're preparing for the worst and hope for the best.
Now, does every fire department have the water capabilities, like with a boat and things like that? Or do you guys kind of help the other departments having that?
I don't believe everybody would have a boat. Obviously, if you don't have a lake or a major creek or river.
Or a Kilbuck Creek,
yeah,
you know.
If you don't have that in your, you may not have a boat. We have several. We have, you know, more of a, I call it, it's the Lake Buckhorn boat. It's more of a V-bottom boat with a motor that, you know, we would use anything in Lake Buckhorn. And we could use it in deeper water if need be. And then we have more like your river rafting type. It's a Zodiac type inflatable that doesn't set too low in the water. And that would be used if we need to go in and evacuate people. We could take that in and get a lot of people out. And a couple years ago, we were able to obtain, you know, Millersburg Eagles helped us with a, it's called a Rit Craft. We can inflate it with a couple of our air bottles that we have on our fire trucks. And it's easily movable. It weighs like 60 pounds. Get it into remote areas, and it's more of that kind of swift water type rescue hooked up to ropes and people pulling it, and so we're pretty fortunate to have the equipment we have. But yeah, it, most departments, if you're anywhere near water, you're probably going to have a boat somewhere.
Gotta have a boat.
You gotta have a boat.
But, you know, we talk about it's dangerous for, you know, drivers to drive into that. But then once they're in there, now it's dangerous for you guys.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's a very high risk rescue for us. You don't know what's in that water. You don't know what's coming down through the water.
And just 12 inches can move a whole car down the river.
Yeah. So that's definitely something we want to avoid having to go out if we can. It's just very high risk, and, you know, there you see, you know, a few line of duty deaths dealing with water rescue, and because there's just so many unknowns with it and what's in that water. And Nothing coming down through is anything you want to be in. It's nasty water. You don't know what it's all, you know, been through and what it's picked up on the way. So it, you know, it's best just to stay out of it.
And that's why we say turn around, don't drown.
Correct.
We're going to take a little break. We've got hometown sports, and you've got some special stuff coming up with the departments in the county, and we'll do a wrap up and call her happy here.
Sounds good.
And that was Chief Brian Rafferty with Holmes Fire District 1, and we'll take a break here on WKLM. All right, before we wrap up this 9 o'clock hour, I am here with
I
talk for a living. Holmes Fire District 1 Chief Brian Rafferty. We'll get it out there. Woohoo! Look at me. And you guys have some stuff coming up.
Yeah, and you follow our Facebook page. We shared, and we talked about Dave Krylo earlier. He's planned a bus trip to New York City. He tried doing this a few years back, and then there was this little thing called COVID that happened that kind of canceled it. But it's a bus trip, 3 days, the weekend is September 12th through the 14th. You know, it'll get you to New York, go through the 9/11 Memorial Museum. And then it also includes a Broadway musical. And I believe there's two nights lodging included, dinner in Times Square. All the taxes, gratuities, everything's covered under this trip. And I believe it's $859 a person for double occupancy. And then there's different prices if you know you have more. If you look on our Facebook page, Holmes Fire District 1 on Facebook, you can see the flyer. Contact Dave Krylo about the trip. He organized it. Seems like a pretty good trip. A lot of stuff involved, and you don't have to drive to New York City. All the driving
or try to get around New York City, which
all the driving's taken care of. So
that's definitely worth it to have that.
Yes. So yeah, take a look at that on our Facebook page, and then also, you know, a lot of our neighboring departments in the area have stuff coming up in the next month. Sugar Creek Fire Department has their auction and chicken barbecue this Friday, the 11th, starts at 4 p.m. Fredericksburg has pancake breakfast on Saturday the 12th, starts at 6:30 a.m. Up at Wilmot, they have a ham dinner on Sunday the 13th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. So this weekend,
you could get away with no cooking.
Yes, so weekend is set. and nothing's the same. There's chicken, there's pancakes, there's ham. I mean, it's not like it's all pancakes and chicken bar. You know, you got a variety. Then Kidron on Saturday, April 26th, they have their chicken barbecue that starts at 3:30 p.m.
And you want to be there early for that one if you're planning on going to that one, because that is a busy one.
Yes. So, yeah, that's what's going on around with our...
So, if you don't feel like cooking this weekend, you can support all the local fire departments and get some food, help, you know, donate for that. And
check all their Facebook pages for that. That's where I get it from. Like I said, Sugar Creek has an auction, so they have all their stuff listed on there that they have up for auction. Some pretty good items.
For sure. Well,
yeah.
I think we've got it all covered here this month. So just prevention is the key.
Oh, yes.
And if you guys need anything fire related, call Holmes Fire District 1 at
674-1926.
You'd think we actually had that planned. That was just completely rando.
It was. I had to think.
Way to be on your toes.
Yes.
Well, thank you for joining with us. That was Holmes Fire District 1 Chief Brian Rafferty.